Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. It's me, Amanda.
It's me, Sam.
And this is Nuance Needed. We're so excited to have you.
Lately, I've been noticing that with a lot of my clients, there's this level of unwinding that we have to do in the work over these very black and white expectations that they've been given by the flood of mental health content on social media. I'm really torn on it because In so many ways it's become so empowering to people that they now understand things. They now have access to this information that we never really spoke about before or made time for. And so now they can see it. It's open. Let's talk about it. Let's be honest. But they have no frame of reference for what is helpful for them to take and what is not, like, what they should leave behind. So There's people who come and they're just like, well, I think I have this and I think I'm doing that. And I don't quite understand it. And do I have like ADHD? Do I have autism? Like all of these big, scary questions that are so intimidating to sit with. And so then we have to do these deep dive questions, which I'm so appreciative of the fact that they bring it, because the whole point of therapy is for us to do these deep dives with them. And I'm telling you, 9.5 times out of 10, they don't have the diagnosis.
Right.
They don't have it. They're simply responding to stimuli. They're stressed. They're burnt out. It's situational. And like the level of relief when they realize like, oh, I'm okay. I'm just a human existing and responding to my environment. It's such powerful work, but yet it has me concerned for all of the people that are sitting there using social media as a full-blown replacement, thinking that this is all accurate and fully complete to them. It's overwhelming as a clinician, I think.
I completely agree. I mean, so much of my work these days is telling people to do less.
Yes.
To do less, to do less, to do less.
Yes.
And I think I've been saying this a lot lately is like there is so much niche extra things that people are being told to do, like heal your gut, right? Intermittent fasting, you know, like sleep, you know, sleep tracking. What else? Certain type, right? Eating enough protein even, which isn't even that niche, but like all of these different trends, right? And it's like, if you are focusing on trying to heal your gut or eating 100 grams of protein a day, but you're not even eating 3 balanced meals a day, it is not helpful to eat 100 grams of protein a day.
No.
And that's like what I keep thinking about is it's like because it is so fun and interesting and makes good content to talk about these unique things – and it's not fun or interesting or noteworthy to talk about the boring basics. What people end up focusing on is these other interesting things when it's like, if you're not exercising like 3 to 5 times a week, don't worry about how long you're exercising for. It's just you have to do one thing first. If you're not eating enough fruits and vegetables, don't worry about healing your gut yet. Worry about eating a fruit and vegetable every day or add more in.
Yes. It's also, you know, kind of going with like the whole like heal your gut. It's so fear-mongering because nobody ever knows what you're actually freaking talking about when you're like heal your gut.
Yeah, it's true.
And so then it for people who struggle with anxiety and may even struggle with health anxiety, see this. And it becomes the new perseverative thing to focus on of like, oh, sometimes I have stomach cramps. So that must mean I'm eating something that's wrong. When in reality, your stomach cramps when you're under significant stress. That's just a part of having high cortisol in your body. You don't even know how many times I had that conversation where I'm like, you're okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not cause for concern mm-hmm. that you have physical responses to emotional experiences. Mm. There is nothing wrong with you because you sometimes respond to your environment.
Yeah. Social media is your environment now, unfortunately.
I know. It's the worst incubator of all time.
Yeah. Something I was thinking about a lot too. Remember when we went through this phase a year or so ago where everyone was convinced they were allergic to everything or they yes. had food intolerances and stuff like that. And all those tests came out. And I think about it as it is so appealing. And I've fallen into this before. I think we all have, right? It is so appealing to be like, oh my God, if I just find out that I'm allergic to this one thing, or I just yes. heal my gut, or I just do this one thing, that would solve all of my problems. And I wouldn't have to actually like work on the other problems because mm-hmm. I would never feel stomach pain again if I just found out that I'm intolerant of gluten and I gave up gluten or whatever, rather than like you said, you're a human who's going to have responses to different environments, and that may be like having stomach pain sometimes.
Right. Sometimes there may be physical discomfort that comes from certain situations. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll say to my clients all the time, I literally call it spicy tummy. Like, it's okay. Like, mm-hmm. if you are about to have a difficult conversation with someone, you might have spicy tummy. Mm-hmm. It's not because you're allergic to sugar.
Right, right.
Or that now it's like, oh my God, I have to heal my gut. Like yeah. these vague, random things that also try to be, as you were saying, like these black and white solutions to things, because black and white thinking is easy.
It's very easy.
That is literally why it's one of the 8, or is there 9? I can't remember. Thinking errors.
Yeah. Well, it saves your brain energy for people who don't know. Like literally your brain loves shortcuts. It hates to think through things. It literally saves energy by just doing one or the other, black or white. It's easy. It's simple. It also mm-hmm. is like, I mean, unfortunately, it's gotten way worse with yeah. social media and the internet. And I sometimes think we've literally lost the ability to look at nuance because we're mm-hmm. so used to seeing such black and white things. And we're mm-hmm. so used to only seeing content and things that we agree with completely or hate.
Yeah. And anything that causes cognitive dissonance mm-hmm. means we've encountered something that needs to be either solved, avoided, or disregarded. Mm-hmm. When it's like, no, you were just introduced to a new idea. Mm-hmm. That's all that happened. You were introduced to something new.
Yeah. I also think like the world is terrifying and complex, and we like, yes, like we don't know what we don't know. And there is so much, and you can literally get lost in all of the things of the world. And like, mm-hmm. I literally can't talk about space or galaxies too much because my brain feels like it's going to explode. Like I get very scared and I can't sleep. And it's also okay for your brain not to comprehend everything, I think.
Oh, 100%. One of like the most stressful moments of my life, speaking of space, was there was a show on Netflix. It was from like 2017 or something. And they spoke about black holes. Mm. Don't. Like if you
no.
see a show on any streaming platform about black holes, and I'm so sorry if there's any scientists watching this, but if you have any like stress about the existential, mm-hmm. it will send you. And I'm a therapist. I have the tools, if you will, to mm-hmm. like help me navigate uncomfy things. Those were gone. They did like they started it at like an observation place, you mm-hmm. know, like with a big telescope. So they started yeah. in those places at Earth, and then they just zoomed out mm-hmm. to try to like, it was a drawing, and they tried to show like just how far a black hole is. Mm-hmm. And they zoomed out for, I am not kidding, probably like 90 seconds to this very intense classical music. And I was like, there is no point to anything.
Yeah.
There is a point. Don't take me on that. But like, it was very mm-hmm. scary and overwhelming. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, things like space are scary. And I can't think of it either.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, we don't like, our brains don't like to have different things conflict. Our brains don't like to feel multiple things at the same time. Our brains mm-hmm. get confused sometimes. And that isn't a sign that there's something wrong necessarily.
Right. Amen. So many of my sessions are about introducing the idea that, like, you will rarely, if ever, only experience one emotion to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, like, you are designed, we are each designed to be complex.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might be angry at something, but also mildly relieved while also feeling stressed, while also seeing it as a potential opportunity or however, like, you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it wrong because there's a lot going on up here.
Yeah.
And I think people are very afraid of leaning into that
mm-hmm.
because I think there's a fear of getting lost.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client who said that one time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of getting lost. And valid if mm-hmm. nobody's ever, like, walked you through that before.
Yeah. I think also, right, if you don't understand the concept of emotions being like waves.
Yeah.
And you're right, like, you're in the roller coaster ride up mm-hmm. of the wave. It does feel mm-hmm. like infinite. I'm going to feel this way forever. This is terrifying. I can't stay here. I can't allow myself to feel this because right. I will get sucked in.
Right.
But the problem is with avoidance, right? If you're always leaving mm-hmm. as you're going up, as you're getting to the peak, you never yep. get to experience coming down, yes. riding the wave, the confidence yes. that this will go away. So the avoidance just gets worse and worse.
100%. And the confidence that you're going to live on the other end.
Yes, yes, exactly. Your emotions cannot kill you physically. You feel like you're going to die, but they cannot kill you.
Yeah.
So for people that, like back to our original statement of talking about just our concerns about mm-hmm. social media and how much, you know, how much in sessions we've been talking with clients about unwinding this stuff and things mm-hmm. like that, and how people don't know how to consume content. I mean, I don't know. What are our thoughts about that or recommendations for people?
I have found for me that I lean, full disclosure, to catastrophic thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That is a mindset that I can very easily get sucked into.
Mm-hmm.
And in our current state, mm-hmm. it is very easy to see things that can confirm that anxiety mm-hmm. and that fear. And so for me, I've noticed I've had to be aware of when I start to lean into that spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And I have very specific, I've found thought patterns for things that bring that up
mm.
and like very specific fears.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to disengage.
Yeah.
You don't have to soothe yourself through the trigger.
Mm.
Yes, if we're talking about if someone is specifically wanting to build up distress tolerance and
yeah.
really wanting to be able to tolerate anxiety, sure, like we can figure that out.
Or if you're like getting into recovery or doing yes. something where you need to build yes. skills, you're going to need to expose right. yourself to triggers. Right. But you're not gaining skills by continuously exposing yourself right. to insanity on social media.
Yes, yes. And part of the skill is being able to recognize, I need a break.
Mm.
A break is much different from all or nothing thinking of, I can't be on social media anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sure. That's how you set yourself up for failure when you go like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be on here anymore. I don't want to scroll anymore. Well, it's yeah. the world now. Whether yeah. we all like it or not, there are healthy ecosystems on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very easy to be deviated from those healthy, happy spaces. So yeah. when I find that my algorithm is starting to betray me a little bit, I will do one of two things. I will either get off completely and say, okay, you're in minimum 30-minute timeout.
Mm-hmm.
adult timeout. You're going to go do something mm-hmm. nice, fun, whatever. Stare at the sky. Doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Literally anything else. Or I will literally go to my For You page and I will type in puppies, mm-hmm. cupcakes, sunsets, travel. I think people mm-hmm. forget that we actually do have control over our algorithm
mm-hmm.
and that it wants to feed us what we want to see.
Well, I also forget about the search function to use like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been a huge help to me.
Mm.
In maintaining my algorithm in a way that feels manageable.
Yeah.
So if I start to notice that it's becoming too much or mm-hmm. I'm landing on the wrong side of things,
Yeah.
I will go to the search function and I will type in the most harmless feeling things and I will just scroll through there. And it really like acts as a reset mm-hmm. for me. And it's like, yeah. oh, the world is not completely imploding.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I do love the phrase go touch grass. And I like yeah. tell myself that sometimes. I'm like, I need to go touch grass. I need to go outside.
Hug a tree.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's hard if you don't have this context, but something that I do sometimes with my clients too, of if they are very fixated on having a certain diagnosis or mm-hmm. something being really true about them and stuff like that, it's like, what is the deeper meaning behind what are we hoping to get by like relating to this yes. so much? Like with ADHD, for example, I've had tons of conversations with people mm-hmm. who have ADHD and it's like, okay, because a lot of people aren't even seeking medication either. No. So it's like, is it that we need you relating to like feeling, you know, discombobulated during the day, feeling distracted. And maybe mm-hmm. it's like some skills that we need to talk about how to schedule your day, how to focus more. And I think if we mm-hmm. got less fixated on the actual diagnosis, because I think we think, oh my God, if I found, because we hear the stories of like, oh my God, I discovered yes. that I had ADHD or I discovered that I had yep. autism. Then I got the help that I needed and my life became like perfect. And like, yes, a diagnosis can help. We're not saying they can't. We mm-hmm. believe in diagnosing, obviously, yep. because we're therapists. Yep. We believe in yep. medication. But a lot of it – like medication can help. And obviously the more mm-hmm. severe your mental health issue is, the more important medication is. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's a way of looking at things. It's helping you feel validated. And whether you have an official diagnosis or not, you can still validate yourself that like – life is hard and you have a lot of responsibilities and no wonder you're distracted. And can we get to the root of what you're looking for in that diagnosis?
If I can snaps, you get snaps for that one. I could not agree more because I think the beauty of therapy, and this is what the social media education piece is missing, is a post can't explore with you.
Yes.
A post cannot sit with you in that moment and ask you what really came up in the response to this. Mm-hmm. The post cannot explore with you. The video I post can't right. explore with you. I am giving you prompts. I am giving you perspective. I am helping you build understanding. Mm-hmm. The role is you're supposed to take those things and bring them to a space where you can unwind and figure out what is yours.
Yeah.
And so just like you were saying, it's like, why did you have a response to this? Mm-hmm. What do you get out of now having a title? Does a title prevent you from feeling shame? Does a title make you feel like you belong? Does a title make you feel you can be excused from certain things? It is so much more than just, I have blank. I am blank. And whenever the medication thing comes up, I always say, here are my thoughts. I will whip out the DSM and I will go through it with them. And we'll read the different qualifications and I'll explain what they mean. And a lot of times some people will be like, oh no, I don't. That's not all the time.
Yeah. No, and what I think is really missing on the internet is yes. those are the most important part of the diagnosis.
Frequency and duration.
Yes, because we can all experience manic yes. thoughts. We can all experience feelings of delusion. We can all yes. experience like inattentiveness, distractibility, depression, yep. fatigue, insomnia, mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. of these different mm-hmm. things. It is mm-hmm. that is why the most important part of the diagnosis, which you are drilled and learn in school, is mm-hmm. that you have to look at the time frame of when it happens and how frequently it happens. And that is what sets up someone having even certain diagnoses versus not.
And the most pivotal one that I always tell people about, is it impacting your ability to function mm-hmm. day to day? Yeah. I'm not just talking about it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Is it impacting your ability to engage in relationships? Is it impacting your ability to show up to work? Are you literally missing days and days of work because you cannot function because your symptoms are so bad?
Yep.
Like, that is such a key. And I find so many times when I introduce that, so many people are relieved because they're like, oh, some do. And great. So this is what you're wrestling with. Now we can really dive in and explore it. Right. But for so many people, the relief that they have of like, oh, I just don't have really solid tools to help navigate the day-to-day human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Both very valid reasons to be coming to therapy. That's why if you had a childhood and you breathe, you should come to therapy. But like, even outside of that, I'm going to say something very controversial, spicy, if you will, to refer to our earlier part of the conversation. Coaches can't help you do that.
Mm.
A lot of times, coaches are coming from personal experience. Personal experience is nice because everybody needs to know that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to see that there are quote unquote success stories of people who have gotten through things, they've worked their way through things, they've been there, and they serve as a sign that like, wow, I can do this too. And so it's nice to have support. It's nice to have community.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches do not have the same level of training. They are not licensed to diagnose. Their diagnoses would not be recognized by your physician if you wanted to go in and discuss medications.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting point that not everyone knows is therapists are able to make mental health diagnoses.
Yeah, mental health diagnoses. Fully licensed clinicians can make mental health diagnoses and coaches can't. So this is not saying don't go speak to a coach. Not at all.
I think coaches at their best
do
a specific thing and they get education in it. They may have personal experience in it and they are very niche. I think that is the best case scenario. And they're very clear on what they're able to help with and what they're not able to help with. And I'm being very clear because like I have friends who are coaches. There are great coaches. We are not against coaches.
No.
I think it's just really important to understand the limitations of a coach. And I think what gets messy is, at least as a therapist, I see where everything overlaps. And it's really, really hard, I think, to do deep explorative work. I don't think it's hard. I think it might be impossible to do deep explorative work when you only can work in a certain area and you can't get to the roots of something and you can't factor in and recognize the difference of what's going on with someone's mental health because it involves diagnosing. If this conversation about coaching versus therapy is making you think, I could actually really use a therapist, I have great news for you. My practice, Therapy for Women Center, offers therapy in the Philadelphia area and in 43 states across the country. This is also where Sam works. So if you're interested in working with Sam or with me, we sometimes take a limited number of clients every year and we would love to work with you. Or if we're not a fit, we have, like I said, licensed therapists across the country. Learn more at therapyforwomencenter.com.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are also, part of our training is recognizing, am I pushing somebody too far?
Mm, yes. No, I'm literally getting licensed now in Florida and I'm like studying to take another test. Like it's common knowledge, but it's also, there are words literally for when a therapist is being trained, there are words of like, literally I was reading something that was like, don't be too sarcastic with a client because they might not be receptive to it. But just like we're taught that level of human interaction.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. Your tone, all of your facial expressions, all of these different things.
Yeah. Well, and self-awareness to a point of detriment, really.
Mm-hmm.
like self-awareness sometimes to a point where like the level of imposter syndrome that therapists mm-hmm. go through mm-hmm. is because we are so afraid of like causing harm or yeah. like adding to their trauma or their issues or their mm-hmm. trust issues or all these sorts of things. Like it's a lot of pressure. And mm-hmm. that is why after graduation, we have to go through such rigorous supervision and licensing expectations.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot. It's mm-hmm. it's a significant amount of trust that someone brings to us when they come into our office. Yes, there's bad therapists out there. I have heard about yes. them. I even know some of them. Again, going off of what you said earlier, we are not sitting here saying like one is better, one is right, one is wrong. It's simply giving you understanding of like exposure and experience for when you go to make a decision of who you would like to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And if things are feeling really hard, really scary, really overwhelming, you might want to go to somebody who has fairly rigorous training in holding space for that.
Mm-hmm. I also think, go to a coach if you know exactly what you need and what yes. you want. If you're like, yes. I need to work on my friendships and make my friendships better and you resonate with someone's content, great. There are plenty of coaches that help people stop drinking, which is great. Yep. For specific things. But if you are like, I don't know what's wrong with me, or yeah. I have multiple things going on at the same time, yeah. or you have a trauma history or things like that,
yeah.
that is where going to a therapist is going to prove to be a lot more useful. If you're looking for a longer term, I think, relationship as well, because a therapist is going to be able to, if new things pop up, if something else yeah. changes in your life, we'll be able to adapt. Because we're not restricted to only helping you with one thing.
Yes. We're not niched in. Yeah. Yes, we have modalities that we're stronger in. Like, mm-hmm. I don't do EMDR.
Right.
I can't offer that. I don't do that. As a total side note, I have no interest in getting licensed in that. Because it's a lot. It's hard and it's pressure and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at anxiety, life transitions, women's health. And depression mm-hmm. and trauma, right? Like mm-hmm. those are things that I have a lot of experience in, and those are very broad. It's exactly like you said. Broad with long term is going to be a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Short term course vibes is mm-hmm. going to be a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is I sometimes, depending on the client and what the client needs, will transition into more mm-hmm. of a coaching role.
Mm-hmm. Right. A therapist can act as a coach as well, where a coach cannot act as a therapist.
Just wanted to throw that distinction out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also interesting because as a therapist, you learn, like you said, I think some of us have imposter syndrome because we learn so much. We learn about all the things that can go wrong. And I also think sometimes it's why I really struggle to pick a niche sometimes.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I know a bunch about a ton of different things. So it's really hard for me to just commit to only talking about like drinking, right? Or only talking about eating disorders or only talking about this one thing, which, you know, we'd probably be more successful on social media if we niched did. Down more.
Niched down. We're so sorry to anybody listening to this that we're so all over the place. Yeah, it's hard. Like even when I go to like make content, and I don't know if you've mm-hmm. ever had this when you're making content, but I'll sit and start in my mind. I'll like throw something out and I'll be like, well, but the problem is like if someone's struggling with this, they might interpret it that way. And so yeah. like, oh, if I – maybe I'll tweak it a little bit. And but that could then lead into that. And I will like paralyze myself.
Absolutely.
And the funny thing is like I'm just really sitting there like with like my camera on just running through all of these because mm-hmm. it's hard because you
– It is.
We so want to be able to identify the nuance of everything
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that we're not causing harm.
Yeah. And I hope people hear that like in yeah. – we try to – like literally I think our default or my default would be to ostracize and
yes. –
you know, trauma worn and do everything a million times, but it would be insufferable to listen to us if we tried to come up with every single exception, nuance. So if you ever get offended, we didn't mean it.
No, no. I promise you, if you're offended, we were already worried of offending you. Like, I promise, if you see like a licensed therapist post about something and you're like,
I was like, but most, Sam, because then
maybe not all. Not all. Not all therapists. Yeah. It is, if you are seeing content from a licensed therapist, they won a battle that day. Mm-hmm. Truly. Like an internal battle to be like, okay, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. And part of it is like, I even in some of my content have had to lean into more of a coaching vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a coach, but it is so hard to be like, okay, so what am I going to do? I'm just going to take a bunch of like super unique, weird, random anecdotes. Mm-hmm. And, like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And that's what's hard, I feel, about the social media space is everybody wants it to be so clear cut.
Yeah. Well, this is part of why we started a podcast is because things are too complex to literally boil down to a 20-second soundbite or a graphic. And that's what's so hard because that is what is successful and that is what people like to see, like we were talking about. You know, it feels good to our brains when someone tells us that they know exactly how to help you and these are just the five steps to follow. It's very alluring and exciting. And I have like been allured by it and excited by it, you know, as well, because it's really hard to shake.
And like, I think part of why we were even wanting to talk about this is because we were saying, we, with all of our background, all of our experience, all of our understanding, we have fallen prey to these things.
Mm-hmm.
I feel overwhelmed seeing different content in a, I think, a unique way. And I'm curious your thoughts, like with your therapist brain, if you feel the same. I'll see content and be like, oh, am I making things too complicated? Or, ooh, am I not, like, I didn't do that with my client. We didn't go there. So, like, did I miss a moment? Like, for us as therapists, it almost can introduce doubt because you're now seeing so many different clinical approaches and styles and interpretations that we even have to be like, well, I won't say we because I don't know yet. I have to be cautious of how much of the mental health content I consume because it wrecks with me.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely experienced that, especially lately as I've been seeing more clients and stuff like that. And I think to me, it's like, it comes back to, again, it's like the problem no longer, right? Like the problem used to be there wasn't enough education and access to information. And now the problem is there is too much access to poor quality information and there is no way for you to even tell what is true and what's not, or even what now with AI, what happened or what didn't.
Right.
And I think about this so often when I'm trying to pick a TV show to watch, is the amount of TV shows that now exist is insane. And I was telling my husband this the other day, I was like, we were putting on an ABC show, or not an ABC show, an HBO show. There's this new show with Kate Winslet.
Oh, is it The Regime?
Yes. Yes.
I haven't watched it yet.
I don't have an opinion to say to watch it or not yet. But I remember we were turning it on and we're like, we'll see if we like this. And I was like, remember when you could turn on a show on HBO and because it was produced by HBO, you knew for a fact it would be excellent?
Yes.
But that's not the case anymore because there is so much content. And again, don't misconstrue. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad there's more content, especially for unique audiences. Like Black women were like shut out of like making good television for so long. Like, you know, LGBTQ, like all of that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there's just so much. It is paralyzing. And now all all you ask people is, what shows do you watch? Do you like that? Like, what are you watching? Is it good? Is it not? Like, we're all talking about how there's no good shows. There's nothing to watch. But there's too much to watch and not enough stuff that we like to watch.
I also get show FOMO, like meaning I Let me create another new term to overwhelm everybody. No, I truly will, like, I will watch, or I'll, let's say I go on Netflix and I am like scrolling through and I'll start seeing all of the shows that I see everybody's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I will passively start to realize how much time I will now have to commit to watching all of these shows. But then I'll be like, well, am I going to feel left out?
Yeah. Even if it's bad, right? Like Tiger King.
Oh my God. Talk about a simpler time. Jesus. I'll start to feel anxiety of like, oh, they told me I should watch that. She told me I should watch that. Like, he told me I should watch that. But then I'm like, there's 15 seasons to that. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Like maybe I can do it. And then what ends up happening is I put on Lord of the Rings because I've watched it 9 million times.
The amount that I rewatch Parks and Rec, The Office. Yes.
New Girl.
Schitt's Creek. New Girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes Sex and the City now that it's on Netflix. Sometimes Friends. Although the laugh track is really hard to have in the background nowadays.
Yeah. The laugh track's hard.
Like I can't sleep to the laugh track.
But yeah, and so I think that you gave like such a perfect example of the other term I use is like the analysis paralysis of like there's so many choices, there's so many options, and we're all anxious and we're all fried. And it becomes so overwhelming that you just have some type of fight, flight, freeze, fawn response where you just don't do anything.
Yep. Not that it's like, right, like in terms of TV, who cares? You can watch whatever you want. Right.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
But yeah, I think in terms of especially to circle back to what we were originally talking about too, with just like the amount of stuff that we're all being told that we have to do, that we have to worry about, that is so like the amount of people that don't exercise at all or don't move their body at all because they have to move for an hour.
Yeah.
5 days a week, or they have to do CrossFit, or they have to do this, or they have to do that, when literally just going outside for a walk for 10 minutes counts.
Yes. Start so small. If you are starting however small you think you can start, boil it down even more and start there.
And it's because, right, like I get it. It's because when we want a big change and we want to feel better, it feels really exciting and good to be like, I'm going to set this big goal. And we get this like positive euphoria feeling like I'm going to be this new person. I'm living into that. I'm going to set this big goal. And it's not that you can't set big goals, but like you said, you have to break it down into really small goals. And I love, there was a quote that I discovered this year from – what is the guy that made that book that's always the New York Times bestseller every day, every week? James Clear. Atomic Habits. I think literally the other day someone shared like their New York Times book like that made it, and like Atomic Habits was like still number one.
Still just
like
number two.
Every week, every year. But he said, I thought this was so good. He was like, when you're thinking about making habits, it's not like what you want to do. It's what you can commit to doing every single day. It's not what you want to do on your best days. It's what you can commit to doing even on your worst days. And I was like, yes, exactly. Yes. It might be exercise every day, but it may be going for a walk around the block, and that counts some days. And that is totally fine. What wisdom can we leave people with when they're overwhelmed on social media besides go to therapy? I'm trying to think. Like,
this is the hard part.
Well, it's like you have to know yourself to be able to have some sort of baseline to be able to filter.
It's hard because, again, like we're coming from sitting here like we know every single listener is different. And every single one of you have different needs and expectations and backgrounds and experiences and wants and hopes and dreams. And so I think you just hit the nail on the head where something else that I really try to stress with a lot of my clients is this idea of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You have to practice pausing and saying, why am I feeling what I'm feeling? And people will say like, well, how do I stop being reactive? And it's like, you have to pause when it's uncomfortable.
You have to. There's no other way to
There's no other way to do it differently. You have to stop and be like, why am I so mad?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I feeling so stressed?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be like a pause, a stop, And then a willingness to say, like, what would make this feel easier right now? Mm-hmm. What would actually be helpful? Like, I'll give you a personal example just for yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was feeling like crap and I had 3 clients first thing in the morning and I knew I was going to have 3 clients later in the day. And I had about like a 6-hour break. Mm-hmm. And normally I would be like, as soon as I finished the first 3, I would be taking my pre-workout, listening to my podcast, getting on the bike, then maybe doing some errands or like this and the other. Da, da, da. And I felt like absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. I was fighting something. I didn't know what. I felt so tired when I got up that morning. My first client, I'm so sorry. I was like, hi. Like, that's so cool. Like, I apologized to her at the end. I was like, my brain is fogged. But instead, I almost pushed myself to just mm-hmm. do my routine. I mm-hmm. almost was like, no, like, you'll be fine. And then I stopped and I said, it sounds so nice, the thought of just laying on my couch. Mm-hmm. And that is what I did. I showered mm-hmm. really quick. Mm-hmm. And like, I started a load of laundry that I had said I wanted to do. And then I laid down on my couch and I watched the new World War II documentary. And I ended up falling asleep. Literally. And it was the best thing I could have done because I ended up falling mm-hmm. asleep for an hour. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was starting my last 3 clients, I was so afraid that I was going to feel like crap. Mm-hmm. And I felt okay. Mm-hmm. And I think to be able to give yourself room to be flexible in the approaches that you take, mm-hmm. which is part of why you want to start small when you're talking about changes. If you're talking about this larger topic of social media and the onslaught of content and all of these sorts of things, don't say like, okay, I'm not looking at social media for a week. Like, that's just not fair because someone's going to send you a funny TikTok and you're going to open it and then you're going to shame yourself because you're going to be like, I shouldn't have done that. But you did and it was funny and you laughed and that's self-care. So there you go. You won. But to instead say, you know what? I'm going to only allow myself to check it for 15 minutes at a mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And after 15 minutes, I'm going to really try to hold myself accountable to having a bit of a break.
I also think a really important follow-up to it too that people miss is if there is a breakdown and you don't hold yourself to it, you have to go through the thought process of what can I do next time? And a lot of times people don't want to do that because it's confronting to be like, how am I going to prevent this from happening again? Mm-hmm. I used to be someone in my addiction who was the most insane chronically late person ever. And it wasn't until I got sober and I really had to tackle it where the only way to change it is to be like, what can I do next time? And if, mm-hmm. and you have to go through that process where every time you're late and the new thing you try doesn't work, you have to then add something and try something else. You can't just be like, next time will be magical and it will actually work. If your alarm clock like doesn't help you get up, right? You got to get another alarm clock to try. You got to then get, an alarm clock that makes you go across the room. You've got to get someone to call you. You've got to add to figure it out.
Anything, like anything is going to be better than staying in these like shame cycles of you hating yourself because nothing changes. And then creating the self-fulfilling prophecy where it's like, well, nothing works, so.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, then I can promise you we're going to be in the same space in a month, in 6 months, in a year, in 10 years. Because mm-hmm. if you are not committed to trying anything different and confronting yourself and holding yourself accountable, you will exist in the same I hate myself space for forever. And so if all of this content, whether it's on social media, whether it's on, streaming services, whether it's just at work.
that's really the thesis, guys. This, we're going to title this podcast, What to Do If You're Overwhelmed and Don't Know How to Pick a TV Show.
Yeah. How to Pick a TV Show. That's, and tell, like, trick your friends and tell them that's what this episode is too. It's two therapists telling you how to pick a TV show. So helpful. Yeah. Like just have, because I think my closing thought with this whole thing is that to commit to this idea of trying again and building self-awareness and practicing self-care in monitoring what is impacting you. What we're really talking about here is like radical compassion with ourselves and radical kindness in finally stepping in and saying, I'm just going to start doing something about this. I don't, I might not know what's going to work. I might not have a full idea of how this is going to go, but I'm going to commit to approaching it differently because what's happening is not working.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and we will be back next week.
We will be back. We appreciate you. You're the best.
Bye.